4:30, downtown Tuesday afternoon. And time for us to talk basketball, Celtics style. John Corrales of Boston Sports Journal and the Locked On Celtics podcast with us. Good afternoon to you, John.
Good afternoon. How are we doing today?
I'm doing well, but as I was telling you during the break, I just want to get this thing started. Let's get to the regular season.
I know. I'm with you. I'm done with these. The Celtics don't need to be playing in Toronto tonight. We might finally get to see Al Horford, which is nice, but we know what we're going to see. We're done. Just get through 48 minutes with no injuries, and let's just move on.
Boy, they sure look at this point. I guess it's only exhibition season, but this seems to be a team on a mission.
Yeah. I think you saw that, especially on display when they played the Sixers, where the Celtics played all of their regulars. The Sixers played none of their regulars, and the Celtics still went out there and were kind of merciless. That was, I think, a nice indication of where the Celtics are mentally. They're not letting down. If there was any time for them to maybe take a little bit of a break during the preseason, no one would have begrudged them an off night. But they went out there and smoked the Sixers, and that, I think, let everybody know that they are ready to go.
Well, you sort of answered my next question about tonight. Will we see Al Horford, and how much time will the regulars likely get tonight?
I think we might see them get like 20, 25 minutes or so. This is, you know, they've got another week before the season opens, so get them some run, get them some cardio, get them some reps, and, you know, like I said before, get them on and off the floor without really risking too much in terms of injury. I mean, I guess every basketball game is a risk of injury, I suppose, but get them out there. Let them get a little bit of run against some live competition, and be done. And we'll see how they use Horford. If he's if he's rolling with the starters, then he'll probably be the starter on opening night. I would like to actually see Luke Kornet, but whichever way works, as long as his minutes are preserved. So yeah, 20-25 minutes, and kind of what we've been seeing for in this preseason.
We're talking with John Corrales here on Downtown. John, who's coming to Maine? Who are we likely to see as Maine Celtics, at least to begin the year?
Well, all of the two-way guys, obviously. So, J.D. Davison will be back. Drew Peterson will be back. You probably will see a few of the guys that, the end of the bench guys that are on Exhibit 10s will get cut, and we'll make it like your Ron Harper Jr. types. Then, there's that race between Jordan Walsh, Jaden Springer, and Lonnie Walker. I think all three will see some time in Maine regardless, but I think we'll probably see more Jordan Walsh in Boston, and I think Lonnie Walker is just going to end up in Maine for now. And maybe some Springer as well from time to time. And then we'll see where they make roster decisions over the next week. That'll be interesting. But I just get the feeling that as much as I think Lonnie Walker is an NBA-level player, I think right now playing the money game and the guaranteed contract game, they're just going to stash Lonnie Walker in the G League for a little while and see if he can't help during the end of the regular season, or if somebody else plucks him up, that's a risk that they're just going to have to take.
Yeah, I know you've been impressed with his play so far. It's just a numbers game for him, right?
Yeah, look, he doesn't even have a locker, right? Like, he's getting changed in the middle of the locker room. He told us he's not getting a lot of reps in practice. So it's obvious that he wasn't brought in. As much as I thought he might have been brought in to be a bench contributor, he's not part of... He's just not part of the plan. And the only reason he's playing in these, over this past weekend was because of the back-to-back, like that weird scheduling. So I think because he's non-guaranteed on the Exhibit 10 and there is a financial incentive for him to stay in Maine for a little while, so the Celtics feel good stashing him there for a bit, I think they're just going to do that because Jaden Springer has a guaranteed contract, and you're not going to eat that by cutting him. So you have to work out a trade, and then it just gets a little bit more complicated. Making, you know, anytime you make a trade, you have to give up an asset or something. You just don't want to go down that road. So I think that's, you're right, just a numbers game.
You wrote about this with Jordan Walsh. You think he has a shot to maybe get those O'Shea Brissett minutes?
Yeah, I think he's of those three guys, and you can lump Baylor Shireman into the mix as well. No one has shown enough to beat out Jordan Walsh. Jordan Walsh has looked pretty good in his limited preseason time, but over the weekend, again, he kind of had like had that one stretch where he hit three straight three-pointers against Philly late in the game, and that was against their, you know, Philadelphia's Exhibit 10 guys. So you got to take any preseason results with a grain of salt, but it was good to see him get out there, shoot more confidently. I like the way his shot. I think just looks a little bit more balanced. So if he's able to play the level of defense that he can play, he is the taller, rangier defender, you know, bigger wingspan. So he has the ability to guard more players. Springer is a much better defender. Springer is just a perimeter, you know, guarding other ones and twos, where Walsh theoretically can guard up to the four spot. So all of that plus his, you know, more confidence in his three-pointer gives him the edge, I think.
Has anybody moved up on the depth chart in the preseason?
You know, I don't think, like, when you look at the starters are the starters, right? And, you know, Porzingis will be a starter. Cornette, I mean, maybe you can say Cornette, but Pritchard is solid. Hauser is solid. Horford obviously is solid. Like, Walsh would be the guy. He'd be the only guy that I would say has moved up. Because, you know, Tillman will be used in his normal minutes. So everything that we remember from last year will be the same. And as of right now, I would expect Walsh to step up into the Brissett minutes. And because he was a straight G Leaguer last year for the most part, that he'd be the only guy that I think comes to mind in terms of, you know, climbing up the depth chart.
We asked you last week about teams that could challenge the Celtics in the East. So I ask you today, who's the best in the West going in?
The consensus is Oklahoma City. And, you know, it's hard for me to argue that, right? You don't want to be the same old voice saying the same old thing, but OKC is in a class above everybody else. They were great last year. They made a couple of big additions in Isaiah Hartenstein and Alex Caruso. Those guys were, you know, they filled holes in the roster that needed to be filled. And so you took a team that was really good last year, added a little bit of shooting there and great defense. I think that makes them kind of, you know, the easy pick for number one. Minnesota could be in that mix for sure. Dallas has an opportunity to climb into that mix. Denver, which I don't know, there's a lot of external stuff kind of at play with Denver, but they're always super talented. All of those teams have a chance to challenge, but OKC has separated themselves.
John Corrales, Boston Sports Journal, the Locked On Celtics podcast. John, we thank you as always. We'll catch you next time, right on the verge of opening night.
Whew, that's right. That's right. I'll be at the Garden next time we talk, ready for the ring ceremony.
Can't wait for it. Thanks, John. We'll talk with you then.
Right. See ya.